Welcome to Real Time with WLP. I'm Jessica Lovett, Vice President of Business Development and Digital at Inamor Strategies. I'll be hosting today this episode, and I have the pleasure of speaking with today's guest, Catherine Harrison. She's a changer, an artist, an explorer. She is a human-centered leadership expert, and she's the author of Three Colors, 12 Notes. And so with that, welcome to Catherine.
Thank you, Jessica. It's nice to see you again. We go way back.
We've spent some quality time together in the pharmaceutical industry. So,
yes.
Well, let's kick things off. Let's just start with, tell us a little bit, what is human-centered leadership and why should we care about this?
So human-centered leadership is an umbrella term that embodies a whole bunch of really important and meaningful differences compared to are the most notable and traditional and commonplace leadership paradigms that we've all learned and probably applied over the past 100 years. So it is a focus on holistic human well-being, being at the center of all of our strategic imperatives. And that means that we focus on the well-being within our communities, with our employees, with our customers, with our vendors, with the public at large. It means that we cultivate a space of meeting very real human needs of belonging, mm-hmm. and interconnectedness, and having a sense of capability and self-determination. And it means that in contrast to traditional business-centered or only results-oriented management leadership style, it is not fixed or limited or a binary in a very either or way, right? It's
right,
not,
right.
Although there certainly are functional hierarchical attributes at play, it is really less about autocracy and hierarchy and more about ensuring that every single person has the means and resides within an ecosystem to develop their best capability and bring their whole selves to whatever function and objective we're looking for. And it's cultivating a culture of both striving for excellence, but also accepting our human fallibilities. You know,
that's a big one.
It's a big one, right? And I think, you know, and why should we care? Well, it's my belief, certainly, and I'm not alone. There are a lot of experts in this field and in the field of holistic psychology and applied psychology and neuropsychology and business science that are asserting that really we should care because it's the only way we're going to solve the problems of the 21st century. The problems that we are facing now in all aspects of our lives, whether it be government, academia, business, education, healthcare, you name it, health and mental health, are complex, are global, and we cannot have a fixed and binary black and white, my way or the highway approach to solving these issues. It reminds me of one of the common elements that I certainly observe, and I'm sure that you do too, that most, if not all companies these days have some sort of nod to the value of innovation. Yes. And yet innovation by definition means that we welcome dissension, that we welcome challenges and questions and failing and, you know, And often it's still seen as a signal of conflict or dysfunction when really that's the only way we truly innovate. So I strongly believe that a shift in this way and towards this, I guess, compass direction is the way that we will individually and collectively solve for the problems of today.
I love that tie-in to innovation around human-centered leadership as well, like that tie-in to what innovation actually could be if you dig deeper into it. But I want to pick up on, like, think about what might be a bit of a downfall as a woman leader. And women may feel this leans into, you know, kind of that warm and fuzzy, that feeling aspect. And sometimes we want to shift from that a little bit. So talk to me about this.
Yeah, that's a great, that's a great question. First off, much of what we will talk about under the banner of human-centered leadership, not much of, half of what we talk about under the banner of human-centered leadership is going to be the soft skills, which I, for one, am on a campaign to change the term soft skills to real skills or human skills, because soft skills,
good,
first of all, is complete hogwash. And I'm using appropriate language for our podcast, but it is hogwash because soft skills, what does the word soft denote to you?
Not something that has a lot of backbone.
Not a lot of backbone. It's probably very feminine. It's something that's exactly, sort of on the peripheral. It's like you say, it's warm and fuzzy and isn't
the outer,
that lovely.
It's the outer layer. Yeah. So
it's the outer layer in contrast to hard skills, which is like very important and certainly very masculine and obviously very results oriented. And I would assert that we need to shift that language because the soft skills, the human skills, are in fact going to be the real skills, because the hard skills in many cases are going to be done by computers. That is what AI will be really good at, is executing hard skills, right? But we still need the human skills, the real skills, to interpret the data that comes from that artificial intelligence, that comes from that machine learning. And human-centered leadership is not either or. Human-centered leadership is not about, well, this is how women lead. It's all warm and fuzzy. They do all the soft skills. No, human-centered leadership absolutely includes and is very explicitly tied to well-articulated goals and objectives, very clear expectations, role clarity, strategic imperatives. You know, it's not an either or. It will be moving forward, as I said, a very non-binary sense of thinking of both and also, if we think about the future of running businesses and attracting the right talent, employees, look around us. We have an employee crisis. We can't, nobody, right, doesn't matter what industry, that I talk to people across sector, you can't find people. And so it's going to be a workers market, and individuals are no longer interested in working in an autocratic top down, just shut up, sit down, do as you're told, and don't bring your whole human self to work, where I encourage and solicit and applaud your questioning what we're doing, your creative problem solving, all of this. So again, it's actually not a nice to do. It will be a need to do moving forward and starting right now.
Good. Okay. So I'm going to pick up a little bit on that change piece, because you went, you know, from soft skills, we need to change that thinking a little bit. And one of WLP's missions is being a catalyst for change in our industry. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on how this can happen through human-centered leadership. How do you become that change?
Well, the first thing I would ask you and your executive team and your constituents with the whole organization is, what does catalyst mean for you? What specifically are you trying to change? What is that ideal state, that desired state? And very explicitly, how is it different from current state? And that requires requires time, it requires honest reflection, it requires some deep thinking, it certainly requires vulnerability and courage at that level to call out things that we don't necessarily want to call out. You know, I know there's a lot more women in positions of power, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all the women in power are behaving as human-centered leaders just because we come from this warm and fuzzy kind of, you know, female style leadership.
Right.
The goal here is to ensure, regardless of gender, that all humans are learning a more human-centered approach to realizing strategic imperatives and creating ecosystems in which people can operate in that sort of, as I said, you know, it's the blending of art and science. It's the blending of, you know, intuition with reason and evidence-based facts. I mean, that's what the pharmaceutical is all about, right? Is evidence-based medicine, holistic healthcare. You certainly in your job are looking at how do we actually integrate and recognize the vast numbers of interconnections between patients and clinicians and pharma companies and payers and, you know, like, and then you look, you know, just as citizens, and we can see, and some of us can feel and experience the healthcare crisis. So, right there, even within that space, I think that the WLP needs to get really clear, very granular on what are you trying to catalyze and why are you trying to do it, you know, and what will that actually look like within your WLP organization and within the various organizations of your members, and then beyond within your communities.
I think that's important in how you lead that forward, right? Like what you said is it's we use this opportunity as a group to come together to be able to define well that change. But to your point, how do you then take that forward into your other aspects of life? And maybe I pick up a little bit on you saying that it's not just about how it's in your professional life, but how do you marry that with your professional and the rest of your life that surrounds that as well? It becomes a part of your professional life as well, right? To embody that?
Yeah. Yes, because employees don't cleave off parts of themselves when they go to work. You are a whole human. I mean, you are a whole Jessica when you go to work, whether you like it or not, whether you want to be or not,
yep.
Whether it's conscious or subconscious or unconscious, the whole of you shows up there. Your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual well-being shows up in that place. And so even this work for WLP and the leaders within WLP can begin to learn, well, how do we begin to lead the way in terms of role modeling, human-centered leadership, human-centered practices, while we go through this journey towards then being exemplars out in the industry, which is what organizational leaders need to do too. First and foremost is self-awareness. You know, do the uncomfortable and, you know, necessary investment of figuring out who are you? What do you stand for? What do you want to be? Why do you want to be it? What, like, understand all the parts of yourself, and how does that inform the way you show up?
Excellent. Good. I just want to leave on that note because I think that really encapsulates things and this opportunity really to speak to you around human-centered leadership. So thank you very much, Catherine.
Thank you for having me. It was a fun chat. I know we could go on and on.
We could probably spend a lot more time together, but for the purposes of this, thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to Real Time with WLP. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll continue to listen with future guests as well. So stay up to date with the WLP. Follow us on our social streams, both Instagram and LinkedIn. And of course, consider becoming a member to join both our powerful and inspiring network of women leaders in pharma. So please visit womenleadersinpharma.com to learn more.